your presence with us, Lord. We just want to thank you so much for that. Take it for granted that you meet with us in such an amazing way, that you meet with us on a personal level, that you just come to us and speak directly into our lives, Lord, that you give us such a sense of who you are to us, that you love us so much, that you've made us to be more than conquerors, that you've made us to share in your majesty. Lord, I thank you that you beautify us with your salvation. Lord, I thank you that you move us from glory to glory. And Father, tonight, I pray this word would be directly from you as a help to move us on from glory to glory, to move us on in maturity, to move us on to know more of what it is to really be your sons and daughters.
Yes, Lord.
Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
The beginning of this year, I was asking the Lord, you know, where do you want me to read? you ever get to that point where you're like, I know I've got to read the Bible. Because, you know, we've got to read the Bible. It's like, where do you want me to read? And I really believe that he gave me the guidance to go back through the epistles, but to read it from the perspective of a father. Because Paul and the apostles and all these guys were writing to the church as fathers in the church. And it's only a few weeks into the year, so it's like little tiny wee snippets. So it's a developing message, a developing word. But there's so much to be grasped when we take the perspective of what can I get from this to give, rather than what can I get from this for me. And one of the words that the Lord's really given me is, are you living in reaction or in response? Because a lot of the time, we react to things, don't we? Like, circumstances happen. We go, ah! And then suddenly what we're doing is out of the reaction, rather than out of a response. We're not taking that time to say, Lord, what is it that you want me to do in this situation? Now, I was laughing this morning because Donnie started talking about Peter and his response to a situation in the church. And this is actually Peter that I wanted to look at tonight, because he's one of the most impulsive guys in the Bible. You know what I mean? He's one of these guys who are just really gung-ho and let's go for it without even a moment's thought. So if we start in Matthew chapter 14. Pages are still rustling, so you're still getting there. And verse 22. But immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, whilst he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went upon the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it's a ghost! And they cried out for fear. So number one reaction in the story is, it's a ghost! Who's been there? Who's been like in a situation where like everything's, you know, a bit upside down, tossing and turning, and, you know, the waves are contrary, and it's all a bit mental. And suddenly something else comes along, and you're like, oh no, I ruined another thing! You know what? Things aren't always what they seem.
Mm-hmm.
If we're going to react to something, we might be missing God's purpose in it.
Yeah.
Because we're not taking that time to breathe and respond. Who's done first aid training in the room?
Mm-hmm.
Anybody? Who remembers the Doctor ABC? Did you learn that? And so it's a doctor was danger, response, and then it carried on. But actually, we had training last year, year before sometime, and the guy who had it was like, actually, the very first one, danger, is your most important one. Not really for your safety, as much as it is for you to get calm and collated before you start trying to help somebody. Because our reaction is to go, run to their aid, regardless of whatever else is happening around us. And actually that moment of, whew, wait a minute, what's happening around? It's what allows your brain to catch up with the situation. Now, our reactions are so much formed by the moment. They're impulsive. In fact, as you do, you get on Google to see what anybody else is saying. And actually, psychology has picked up on this. That is a real difference between reaction and response. And reacting is instinctual. So it's something that you do instinctively. It's something that you do without thinking. But responding is a conscious choice.
Mm.
So you have to think about it. Reaction is without thinking. It's often based on fear and insecurities.
Mm-hmm.
Responding takes the situation in, and decides the best course of action. Reaction often comes across aggressive or defensive. It's a ghost of defensive, isn't it? Responses are often calm, helpful, and non-threatening. So then it moves on, and verse, I can't remember where I am. I got excited with the ghost. 27, thanks very much. I was reacting to the scripture, look at that. Try responding and I get on better. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." Now we're moving to a response. He's taken into the situation, he's seen, yeah, it's Jesus, he's kind of got that little bit of doubt, just kind of moving on, but not quite there. And a response seeks the word.
Mm-hmm.
He says, "If it is you, command me." So, well, we're taking that moment, aside from the circumstance, aside from whatever's going on, even when our natural thing is to react, just to take it aside and say, actually, Lord, where are you in this? What's your word?
Mm-hmm.
Where are you leading? So he seeks the word and he looks for direction.
Amen.
So he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me!" What's he back in?
Reaction.
It's like, oh no, everything's going wrong! Again!
Mm-hmm.
What's he done? He's forgotten the word. He's come out of a place of responding
mm-hmm.
to the Lord, responding to the Holy Spirit, responding to that call to come. And he's looking at everything around him and reacting in fear. So what's going on? Thank the Lord that it comes to the rescue, because he responds to Peter's cry.
Mm-hmm.
He says, "And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him, and said to him, 'O you of little faith, why did you doubt?' And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased." That's good. Then those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Now there's a corporate response. Everybody who is in the boat has just seen what Jesus is doing,
mm-hmm.
has done for him, and respond together in what?
Worship.
Matthew 16. And verse 13. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I am? Who do men say that I am? The Son of Man am?" I don't know how to say that. Basically, who am I, and who do people say that I am? So That's just really weird English there. I'm sorry. So he said, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others say Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. So, reaction. Who do people say that I am? Well, some say. Some say this guy, some say this guy. Everyone's got a different reaction to who Jesus is. Then he asked them, who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Then he commanded his disciples that they should tell no one that he was Jesus the Christ. So, the reaction to Jesus is, he's Jonah, he's this guy, he's that. The response that is delivered to Peter by the Father is exactly who he is. You are the Christ. Sorry, Peter's got it right this time. he responds in truth. He responds out of knowing who the Lord is. It's not quite his impulsive, usual, yeah, we know who you are. It's truth. Unfortunately, not too far down the page, in verse 21, we've got a different account. So from that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan, you are an offence to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. Uh-oh. He's reacting again, isn't he? Jesus is saying, right, I'm going to be killed, I'm going to rise again in 3 days, and Peter's going, no! No, that can't happen to you, we won't let it happen to you. And he's back in reaction, and there's some pretty strong words there from Jesus. Get behind me, Satan. Well, actually, these words aren't coming from the Father this time. They're coming from Satan this time. You are an offence to me. For you are not mindful of things of God, but the things of men. You know, I believe reaction comes when you're more mindful about the things of men. Or put it this way, when you're in your soul rather than your spirit. Because it's your soul that gets offended.
Mm-hmm.
It's your soul that wants to react out of the habits, out of the way you've always done things.
Mm-hmm.
The spirit doesn't. The spirit wants to respond. Respond to truth, respond to love, respond to who the Lord is. Peter's heart was in the right place. You know, but we say that about people, don't we? Oh, they've got a good heart. Their heart's in the right place. But they're getting it, like, rubbishly wrong. But their heart's in the right place. It's a bit like it's the gift that counts. We're talking birthdays at the moment, because my dad's birthday is coming up, and my own birthday's coming up, and it's like, oh, yeah, I wouldn't mind this for my birthday. And then one of my sisters turns around and says, oh, I was just going to pay for your provisional license. I'm like, nice. Thanks. Lovely. It's the thought that counts. Oh dear. That was an aside, nothing to do with what I'm talking about. But okay, so his heart's in the right place, but his mind wasn't. What are we told to do with our minds? To be renewed in our minds, aren't we? Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be renewed. Matthew 17. I've written Matthew 17, but it can't be the choir. Matthew 26.
Skip that one.
I've scribbled something, but I actually can't read it. It might come back in a minute. And third.
What verse am
I? I'm on 25. Matthew 26 and verse 33. Peter answered and said to him, "Even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble." Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you that this night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." Peter said to him, "Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you." And so said all the disciples. Let's just point out, this isn't all Peter. This is all the disciples. Like, again, he's back in reaction. I won't deny you. I won't stumble. A pretty bold statement. But if he'd actually been responding to what Jesus had been telling him, he knows that Jesus is going to die. He knows that he's going to rise again. And he knows that what Jesus brings is truth. I wonder how different things might have been if he responded better. Because he's so adamant. I won't. And yet when he does, he just falls apart afterwards. He disappears off to his fishing. He withdraws from the community, from the disciples. And Jesus has to go and restore him. I'm going to skip on to Acts. And this is a maturer Peter. A Peter who has received the Holy Spirit, who has gone through the Acts, Pentecost, received the Holy Spirit, stood up in front of people, and in Acts chapter 10, we've got an account. verse 9, it says, "The next day, as they went on a journey and drew near the city, Peter went up to the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. Then he became very hungry and wanted to eat. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven open and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners descend into him and let down to earth. In it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And a voice came to him, 'Rise, Peter, kill and eat.' But Peter said, 'Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean.' And a voice spoke to him the second time, 'What God has cleansed you must not, what God has cleansed you must not call common.' This was done three times, and the object was taken up into heaven." Reactions are commonly based on the pre-programming we've received by religion, by culture, by preconceived ideas. So here's Peter, like, he's hungry and falls into a trance and he dreams about food. I understand that. And on this blanket is a whole load of food that he just won't eat because he's not allowed to. The law says he's not allowed to. He wants to honour the Lord. And yet the Lord's voice is saying, "Eat it." And actually see that preconceived idea you've had. It's a nonsense. Because what I clean... it's clean. So the Lord looks for a response to his word and a response to his heart. He's not just looking for us to react to his word. Like, Peter could have taken this word and done it out of obligation.
Mm-hmm.
He could have taken it and just done it because, right, that's it. But, you know, I don't really agree with it, Lord. A bit like Jonah. Remember Jonah going off to Nineveh under duress, and it ends up having performed the word of the Lord and sitting under a tree whilst worms eat away at it and feeling quite despondent. But the Lord doesn't want us just to react to his word and to obey because we have to obey, but he wants us to respond in his spirit, in the same love that he has for people. carry on with this passage. It says, "Now while Peter wondered within himself what this vision which he had seen meant, behold, the men who had been sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. And they called and asked whether Simon, whose surname was Peter, was lodging there. While Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, 'Behold, three men are seeking you. Arise, therefore, go down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them.' Then Peter went down to the men who had been sent to him from Cornelius and said, 'Yes, I am he whom you seek. For what reason have you come?' And they said, 'Cornelius the centurion, a just man, one who fears God and has a good reputation among all the nation of the Jews, was divinely instructed by a holy angel to summon you to his house and to hear words from you.' Then he invited them in and lodged them. On the next day, Peter went away with them, and some brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And the following day, they entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was waiting for them, and had called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him, and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter lifted him up, saying, 'Stand up, I myself am also a man.' And as he talked with him, he went and found many who had come together. Then he said to him, 'You know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with or go to one of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore I came without objection as soon as I was sent for. I asked then, for what reason have you sent for me? So Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour. And at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms are remembered in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call Simon here, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon the Tanner by the sea. When he comes, he will speak to you. So I send to you immediately, and you have done well to come. Now, therefore, we are all present before God to hear all the things commanded you by God.'" You know, when we respond rather than react, we open the door for the Lord to work through us. Because we're partnering with Him, we're partnering with His Holy Spirit, we're partnering with what He wants to do. Cornelius, if Peter hadn't responded to the words, "Lord," the Lord's word, would have not received the instruction that was designed for him, that he was desperate for. So the Lord responds to Cornelius' prayer by sending Peter. But you know that all the Bible is truth, but it's only true and relevant when it's being brought in response the leading of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Right. The scriptures that make the basis of Peter's understanding of what's clean and what's not unclean are true. But they're only true in the Lord. And they're actually obliterated, wiped out by a higher truth that the Lord wants to reach the Gentiles. I was reading through Proverbs, which is a good place for a bit of instruction. And there's actually a couple of verses in Proverbs 26 that used to wind me up so much. Because Proverbs 26, verse 4 and verse 5. And verse 4 says, "Do not answer a fool according to his folly, lest you also be like him. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes." What are you supposed to do with that? They sound contrary, don't they? They sound like complete contradictions to one another. Like, first of all, do not answer a fool according to his folly, lest you be like him, right? So don't answer the fool, because I don't want to be like him. And then answer a fool. Hold on a minute, you just told me not to answer the fool. So answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes. Well, it clicks. If I answer a fool according to his folly, and it's causing him to be wise, then that means I've reacted to what he said. Mm. I'm coming in on the same level, with the same spirit as what he has. What I say might be true, but unless it's coming from the Lord, it's going to have no effect whatsoever. For example, you might see somebody in sin, know it's sin, they're adamant that it isn't sin, and you come along and say, "Don't you know that's sin?" Suddenly, what if you've got an argument? But if you stop to respond, to hear what the Lord's saying, he'll give you the keys to the situation, to unlock it, to unlock somebody's heart. So you're answering a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes. It's turning the situation around. So no longer does he think he's on a moral or immoral high ground, arguing his point. You come in as a servant. You come in under with love, with grace, to say, "I'm actually here to help you," rather than expose you, because love covers. Proverbs 15:28, it says, "The heart of the righteous studies how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours forth evil." We're supposed to take time over what we say and how we react to people. Proverbs 18, verse 13 says, "He who answers the matter before he hears it, it is a folly and shame to him." How many times do we jump in with our answers before we've actually got the full story? Before we've actually got an understanding of what's going on? And actually before we've got a word from the Lord for it? We, in our immaturity, in our eagerness sometimes to please the Lord, can jump in gung-ho with what the Bible says without getting what the Lord is saying. And Proverbs 15, verse 1, "A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." James chapter 1 and 19-20 says, "So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God." I want to turn to Ephesians chapter 4. And these are scriptures we've looked at very, very recently. But I just saw something new to me anyway in it. And verse 11, 16, it says, "And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ." But I started at the beginning, I said, I've been reading these scriptures from the perspective of fathers. And to me, the apostles, the teacher, the evangelists, they're father figures in the church. They're the ones who are designed to build, you know, construct, to help build up people. And they're there to equip, edify, and bring truth. But equipping there is actually a word. The Greek word refers to setting bones. Now, I haven't broken anything major ever, thankfully. But that's quite a painful process, isn't it? It's like you smash your bones and have to bind them up. And the image there is of correcting what's going on, correcting the church so it can be stronger. Now, we can try and correct out of reaction, or can we correct in response to what the Lord is doing.
Mm-hmm.
So, someone breaks a bone, what do we want to do? Reaction would be to kind of pull them up and try and help them out, which could potentially make things worse. Because you jump into it, and that same issue with they're in sin, I need to deal with the sin.
Mm-hmm.
Go in, gung-ho, try and sort it out. Actually, we end up making more of a mess because we haven't waited to hear from the Lord and respond to what he's doing, what he's saying, and what his heart is for the situation. So, if we're moving this year, which we've declared we are, into a place of maturity, we need to be mindful about whether we are reacting or responding.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Lord wants us as mature, complete, perfect people. And I've been praying the last few while that the truth would come in love. Lord, just bring your truth in love. Your truth in love. Because, like I said, the Bible is true. All of it's true, but it's not true without love. I could bring the same word to you out of anger and frustration and because I think it has to be cut, it has to be done. You understand the difference? Because this is what the Bible says and this is what you have to do. Or I can bring it in response to God's heart, which is always to build you up, which is always to restore you, which is always to see relationship reconciled. And I can say exactly the same scriptures, exactly the same words, but in love, and it has a completely different effect. The Holy Spirit pours love into our hearts. It's hard to react soulishly, it's hard to react when we're actually living in response to the Holy Spirit. So, as much as we want to do good for people, as much as we want to see people saved, unless we are living in response to the Holy Spirit, unless we are living in relationship with Jesus, then it's going to have no effect. Father, I just want to thank you that you have given us all things, that you've given us your Spirit. Father, I pray, Lord, that we live in response to you. Father, that we would be like Jesus, that he did nothing except he heard and saw you doing it. Father, we want to respond to your love tonight. Father, we pray that you help us to love like you love, to speak like you speak. And Father, that reconciliation, that bringing people into relationship with you would be the number one priority because we know how good you are. We know how much you love people. So Father, I want to invite you personally tonight to address any place where I react. Father, I thank you that you've given us everything we need to live holy and acceptable and pleasing to you. Father, I want you to help me respond to you in every situation, in every conversation, and in every place so that you would get the glory. So that you would be glorified and people would see you through us, through me. Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us as a body, as a church, to address situations in love. So that we are
knitted together, that we are brought into unity, that we are presented complete and perfect in your sight. Father, I'm asking for guidance with that, that you just help us to, Lord, get a heaven's perspective on the things that we're facing. Father, I thank you that you've declared this year to be a year where eagles soar. So, Father, I'm asking for eagle-eyed vision in every situation. Father, I pray, Lord, that you would pinpoint places where we need correction, when we need building up, where we need that equipment, Lord, and that you would give us the words and the grace and the love to see those things addressed. Father, once again, I thank you so much for your presence, for your precious word, and for Jesus. Father, I thank you that Jesus never, ever did anything except he saw you do it. That his life is in response. And Father, I thank you that you've made it possible for us to live exactly like him. So, Father, once again, we invite you to have your way with us, to lead us and to go with us, because Lord, you say you never leave us nor forsake us. Father, we're expecting to see your glory manifest daily as we live in response to you. Father, I thank you that it's not a hard thing, because your presence is just so amazing and so beautiful, and it's such a privilege to get to stand in your presence completely unashamed. Even when we do react, even when we do get things wrong, that you're still there to restore and to reconcile and to raise us up to better than what we were before. Father, I thank you for the things that you have for us this year. I thank you for the things that you have for us today and this week, and the things you want to accomplish today. Father, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.
Amen. Amen.